Vinyl is back, baby. And if you don't want to miss the boat on all things vinyl, then you should jump right over to Still Spinning. That's STILL, Still Spinning on YouTube. It's Kevin Carpenter's wonderful channel where he has video after video on all things vinyl. So, Kevin also has a Facebook page at facebook.com/stillspinning3, that's the number 3, where you can continue the conversation. So if you want that new turntable, if you're after the Beatles White Album, or you don't know what vinyl is all about, just jump over to Still Spinning on YouTube and cook up with Kevin Carpenter. And we thank Kevin and Still Spinning for supporting Tech Webcast. Tech Webcast is sponsored by Ventuative Web Development and Promotion, passionately helping small business succeed online. Is your website in need of an upgrade? Do you need help with social media and the promotion of your business? Ventuative can help develop and implement a strategy that is best suited to your business. Promotional packages are also available. So contact Ventuative today for your free quote. And we thank Ventuative for supporting Tech Webcast.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of Tech Webcast. Please like us on Facebook and Twitter at Tech Webcast. Thank you.
Tech Webcast. Tech Webcast. Tech Webcast. Tech Webcast. Tech Webcast.
Minus 10.
Tech Webcast.
9.
Tech Webcast.
7.
Tech Webcast. Tech Webcast.
6.
Tech Webcast.
5.
Tech Webcast.
4.
Tech Webcast.
3.
Webcast.
3.
Two.
One.
Zeros.
Ignition.
Tech Webcast. Lift
off. A beautiful liftoff. Climbing nicely, precisely. Roll program initiated.
Welcome to the Tech Webcast Podcast, episode 458, recorded on the 6th of January 2018. Tech Webcast is recorded every Saturday at noon Melbourne time. Please rate us on iTunes and like us at facebook.com/techwebcast. You can follow us on Twitter at Tech Webcast and download the Tech Webcast iOS or Android app. You can also support Tech Webcast at patreon.com/techwebcast. Your hosts today are Aldrin, Jacob, Brad will be on shortly, and myself, Daryl. And our very special guest is Patricia Laverty. And good afternoon, everybody. Good afternoon, Jacob.
Good afternoon, Daryl.
And how was your... we haven't been on since... Christmas. So how was your Christmas / New Year?
Cold.
Cold in Florida.
Good thing I'm not Mr. Freeze, because everything would be turning to icicles.
So if you were Mr. Freeze, you'd actually be warmer than what you are now at the moment, probably.
Yeah.
So yeah, so I saw that on the TV here back here in Australia that there'd been a big blizzard storm, whatever you want to call it, blowing through the eastern part of the US, and it was very, very, very cold. So stay warm, Jacob, and welcome, Aldrin.
Yes, thank you, Daryl. It's great to be here in the new year, 2018. Happy New Year to everybody.
Yes.
And I had a great New Year's, I must say. It's the first time in 17 years that I've lived on the Gold Coast that I've actually spent a New Year's on the Gold Coast. And I saw the fireworks on the beach at Broad Beach, and it was absolutely beautiful. Cool. Actually, there were fireworks all along the coast on New Year's Eve, basically between about 9 p.m. and midnight, quite a few different spots from Southport down to Broad Beach and even down to Coolangatta. There were fireworks going on all night along the beach. It was just really special. So that's what I did New Year's, and then met some great people at the casino and played some pool, and it was brilliant. So here we are in a new year, and it's going to be an exciting year ahead, I believe.
2018, yes. Yeah, good, yes. good. I think, yes, it's getting used to actually saying 2018. I'll probably start getting used to it about 30th of June or something, it's a good year. Although here in my part of the state, we're baking under a sort of like our first real summer day. I think it's going to be over 40 here in Victoria, and so I'm going to be sitting under the air conditioning once the podcast is finished, putting my feet up and watching the cricket. Mm-hmm. I'll be vegetating.
Nice. Sounds beautiful. And we've got Brad coming on soon, as we mentioned. And in the meantime, we'll be chatting with the lovely Patricia Laverty. Thank you for joining us. Patricia is a Gold Coast author and speaker, and she runs Patricia Laverty Mentoring. And she's going to be doing some blogging for profit workshops across Australia from January to March 2018. And she's supporting the Sanctuary for Life Dog Rescue Service. So a big dog lover and wants to help people make money from blogging. So hello and welcome, Patricia.
Oh, hi, Aldwyn. Hi, everybody on there. Thank you very much for inviting me on today. I'm really looking forward to chatting with everyone.
Fantastic. Thanks, Patricia. That's awesome. Well, let's start off. For those that don't know, what is blogging?
Blogging has a couple of prongs to it, and it's a very, very powerful way of being able to get traffic and credibility and authority to your website or your blog site, because Google loves fresh content. So if you're writing about something that you love, whatever your passion is, whatever your business is, when you're building your website, you need to get some views on there. You need to be able to get ranked. And Google loves fresh content. So when you blog about something, you're giving great information about that topic out to your readers, and you're also gaining credibility and hopefully some good ranking at the same time.
Brilliant. Okay, and these blogs, do they need to be a certain length or style? How do you recommend people do blogs?
There's no specific style to do it, but obviously you need to make sure that whatever you are writing about, so let's say if we're writing about, you know, the dog industry or the motorcycle industry or the technology industry, that would be your topic that you would be speaking about. Mm-hmm. So you could either tell a story along the way, you know, you could tell a story about technology, you could tell a story about raising dogs, you could tell a story about whatever it is that you want to do, but you've got to make it sort of both interesting for the reader and informative for the reader, so that reader will want to stay with you and continue following the information that you're putting out for them. So it's got a couple of good uses there.
Brilliant. And you do some blogging yourself as well. What are your blogs about?
So mine's all about the technology stuff. That's the, you know, it can get a bit dry, our technology information. So trying to keep people informed on, you know, how to put a blog site together, even if they're not tech gurus, they can learn with a bit of help with someone who's done it before, like myself, to be able to put their blog together, put their website together very easily and very economically. You don't have to spend a fortune these days and getting other people to do all of this for you. So I'd be teaching people from the ground up how to put their website together, how to blog, how to put some ads up there, how to stay in communication. So all of my blogs range from how-tos right through the whole plethora of being able to create and generate on that website and that blog.
Nice. And I like when I read a blog online and they have the share buttons to share it on social media. And I have often shared good articles that I've read or blogs about different topics. And I do love to hear people's opinions on certain things and also their stories. I think we all love storytelling. So now I've personally done some blogging on WordPress. Would you recommend WordPress or another platform?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm an absolute WordPress fan. And look, WordPress has got some fantastic benefits to it. It is the best platform to use, and using a platform or a foundation for your blog site or your website is really, really important, because you wouldn't want to build on if you're building a house, you wouldn't want to build on a shonky piece of watery concrete that the local tradie down the road came down and helped you put together, and that's your toys out there, when you're looking at your website. You want a good foundation so that you can either build out or up, so that the content that you want to put on there, the foundation like WordPress will take that. So I'm a real fan of WordPress, and another reason I am is because it's also free. So why not use WordPress? It's the most powerful platform in the world, and it's used by Forbes 500 companies like Coca-Cola, the New York Times, Katy Perry. It just, the list goes on, and they wouldn't be trusting their company's information on a foundation that wasn't stable. So they're good people to follow in that respect, and they're getting a great foundation there for them. Plus, there's amazing themes and designs on there that people can use. When you first sit down to write your blog, you go, where am I going to put what? How am I going to put a picture there? Am I going to put that over there? Do I need a heading? Well, there's themes which are like designs for different products and services and different niches that people want. So if you're in the floral arts niche, then there's great themes around that. If you're in the technology niche, in the business niche, in the news niche, whatever, there's thousands of free themes to be able to use. You just download that free theme and you just start working on your blog immediately. So you can basically have your business up and running within 24 to 48 hours.
Wow, that's fantastic. And what about the difference that there's WordPress.com and there's WordPress.org? Is that correct?
Sure, that's correct. So in really plain English, it's rather than getting into sort of heavy geek terms, is WordPress.org is where you would go, and it automatically goes there when you start to set your get your domain and set your hosting up. You can automatically go to WordPress.org, and that's where you get everything for free. You can buy things if you want to, but all the free templates and designs and themes are all on there, and it's technically called self-hosted, so you're hosting it on a hosting provider that you've chosen to go with. If you alternatively go with WordPress.com, that is hosted for you by WordPress.com, and ultimately there are extra charges around that arena. It's a quick and easy way to go, and it's not a bad way to go, but the more powerful way to go would be your WordPress.org way.
Fantastic tips there, Patricia. Now, Daryl, Jacob, have you got some questions for Patricia?
Yeah, I had one actually about blogging in general. How do you – I mean, a lot of people sort of decide they want to blog, whether it's for a business or – for personal reasons, and they start off all excited and everything, and then they get a few months in and it sort of becomes a bit of a chore, and then all of a sudden, and the internet's full of sort of dead blogs that started off with good intentions but didn't go anywhere. How do you encourage people to sort of like to keep going, like to get past that sort of, and to be able to sort of, so because otherwise, if you're not disciplined and you don't keep blogging, it ends up just dying.
Sure, that's a great question, and it's a very powerful one, because that's what happens to a lot of people, and that's why a lot of people think to themselves, I've done all of this wonderful work, and then they've lost a little bit of interest, or they've not got enough topics to blog about. And they don't sort of, do a little bit of homework and get moving on it. There's that little lull that happens. So it does happen. And the best way to do it is to just keep thinking about new topics. And look, in my workshops that I that I run, I teach people really good tricks. So I call them tricks or tips on how to actually stop writer's block. You know, so you can create an audio, you can interview people, you can write down headings of blogs that you would think that were absolutely ridiculous and then split them up into smaller blogs. There's lots and lots. Once you get your juices flowing in that arena, there's nothing stopping you from blogging. Once you understand how to stop that writer's block, you just keep going, and it's amazing. And one of the great things about blogging is you can repurpose your content. So perhaps you've got an ebook that you've written, or you may want to write an ebook from the blogs that you've created. There's a double-edged sword there. You can do all of that. You can repurpose. So if you've written a really great blog, say, 6 months ago, you can actually take that information and repurpose it to bring it into maybe some technology has changed. We were talking about iPhones and iPads before. So perhaps that technology has changed and you want to talk about that. You can, instead of trying to come up with a whole new blog again, you can repurpose a blog that you've already written, bring it into fresh content, and then bring that up onto your site as well. There's many, many ways of getting blogs up onto that site. The important thing is to schedule yourself, be disciplined, and just plan it out. Plan it out ahead of time so that you're a few weeks ahead of the game, so that on Monday morning when it's time to blog, you're not sitting there looking at a blank piece of paper with writer's block wondering what on earth you're going to talk about. They're probably a couple of the quickest tips that I can give you.
Cool. Jacob, you had a question?
Yes. And it's sourced from Brad himself. He wanted me to remind everybody about what he's doing. He's selling ad space on his blog. And that's bradsblog.org. And isn't that a good way of getting out there?
That is a fantastic way to get out there, is to actually get your information out onto other people's blogs. It's fantastic. And sometimes you can do guest blogging. So you can sort of ask each other if you want to sort of put some ad space on each other's website. You can do that. Or you can certainly purchase some ad space, and you can also sell ad space. If you're monetizing your blog and wanting to make, a passive income from your blog, you can certainly sell for people and get a commission. Also, you can get commissions, and you can also sell ad space. It's a great idea.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, nice. What are some other ways that people can make money from their blogs?
Another great question, because these are the questions that most people ask me most of the time. So generally it's selling a product or a service, and that instantly puts people into, well, what if I don't have my own product or service to sell yet? That's fine. While you're creating and thinking about that, you can actually do a thing called affiliate marketing. So again, if depending on what your blog is about, you can go and find affiliate supplier programs that will have products and services that you can actually sell on your blog, and you receive a commission for any sales that go through. And they're pretty easy to find. You just go onto Google, and you can say affiliate programs for dog accessories, affiliate programs for flower, raising orchids, or affiliate. There's lots. You just put whatever your niche is at the end. Affiliate programs for beekeeping, and they'll come out with all of the things that are currently selling, what the commissions are. You join those affiliate programs, and they will give you a unique link, a URL for you that you put on your blog site. And then when people click on that link and go through to purchase, then you receive a commission from those affiliate suppliers.
And you're speaking about the themes you were saying earlier?
Yeah, that's a great way. And like ClickBank, isn't it?
Yeah, you've got ClickBank, you've got Amazon, you've got
ClickBank
eBay.
ClickBank is a site, isn't it?
Pardon?
Yeah, Amazon, ClickBank.
Yep, Amazon, eBay, Partner Network, There's a whole host of them out there that you could join. But ClickBank seems to be the most popular. But one thing people need to understand is not every affiliate supplier is going to be right for you, and they may not have enough product or service in your niche. So it's good to join more than one, and it's good to go and research them and see if they're going to have enough product or services to support your niche to be able to sell and get some commissions there as well.
Okay, great. And with your blog, if you want to put some ads on promoting somebody else, is that something that people easily can do if they're not very tech savvy, or would they need to get a website person to help with that?
Sure. Initially, if they've never done it before, it's always great to get help from someone who has done it before to give them a bit of an idea of how to do that. But yes, it's a very good idea. You can do a joint venture with someone. So like Aldwyn, you and I could do a joint venture on some courses, and then if the link is on my site and the product or service is sold from my site, then you and I would do a joint venture on that particular, you know, the sales from that the income from that sale. So it's very good to have other people's links on your site, and vice versa as well. The biggest way to go ahead and get ahead if you are looking at monetizing is definitely joint venture. It's the fastest way to increase your database and also increase your income.
Brilliant. And the joint ventures, I guess, depending on how, you know, the price, how big the price is of the product that you're selling, you know, generally it's a 50-50 split on the product. But sometimes it goes 20-80 or so if it's a high price product. So what do you recommend there with the JV split?
Yeah, I think it's got to sort of be, you need to have a relationship with whoever you're JVing with. I think it's really important. And I guess some of their products they're not able, or services they're not able to do a 50-50 split, because they're probably giving an awful lot into that particular program if it's a very high-priced program. So they may only have enough to, you know, slice off, you know, the 20-80 or the 30-70, whatever they've come up with there. Because if they're going to a big seminar and then there's going to be a lot of caretaking after that, there's a lot of expenses to be paid out in it. So sometimes they won't do a 50-50 because there's just not enough there to do that, but they'll have more than one program. So you might decide to joint venture on, say, all of their programs. So you're going to get different cuts on each program. And it sort of balances out in the end, because it's better off getting 20% of a $50,000 program than getting nothing of it. And all you're doing is advertising for them, you know, and not spending any money doing that. So it's quite a good deal, even if it's a high-priced item and it's a smaller split. So I just say have a good relationship with whoever you're joint venturing with. And that's the best way to go, and negotiate it with them and start off that way.
Fantastic. And with the actual WordPress blog, what sort of plugins do you recommend? Like, can you do a plugin for, you know, to capture people's name and email address, for example, like a website? Or would you just put a link at the end to another website? Would you just link it somewhere else? Or would you sort of turn it into a bit of a mini website?
Sure. Well, when to capture people's names and addresses, to address that one is I would use a really good autoresponder to capture people's names and addresses, and I would put a link or an image link, because people prefer images, on the front of my website that says, you know, download this free ebook or this free giveaway or a bonus, and that would be in exchange for a person's name and address. And then a name and email address. And what would happen is that would go into the autoresponder, which captures, that's the database that captures people's names and emails. That means you're now building your database, and then you would be able to communicate with those people, you know, on a regular basis and look after them, because they've obviously been interested in what you had to offer. And then from there, you would be able to send them out at links if you wanted to send them to, you know, say different workshops that you were coming up, or information, or send them to your blog, and keep them informed that way.
Brilliant. So, Daryl, Jacob, yes, any other questions from you guys?
Social media. I mean, you have your WordPress blog you know, set up and you're posting articles and various stuff to it. How do you, what do you suggest as far as people linking that to, you know, Facebook, Twitter, and the various, like Google Plus, so people still using Google Plus, and the very other various social media platforms out there?
Yeah, sure. Great question again. The first thing I advise people is to not do the scattergun approach. So that means everybody panics and they go, we want to do this and we're in a hurry and we're going to rush this and go for it. So they're going to get on every social media platform that they can to try and get their message out there. And that's the fastest way to burn out. So that would be my first suggestion, is don't do that. So just pick one, and let's say we picked Facebook. Well, I suggest that people create themselves a Facebook business page and, you know, put some images over there that correlate with their blog site. And then a really great way of getting traffic there is you can start telling people about your blog. So perhaps someone's written a really nice blog that particular week. Just take a little paragraph, short paragraph, or a decent-sized sentence from the blog, go over to your Facebook page, drop the sentence in with the link back to your blog. And that's a really powerful way for people to go, oh, that's interesting information. I want to learn some more about that. And then that brings them back to your website where you've got all of your other links and interesting information where they can, you know, peruse and increase their knowledge and get more interested in your niche. Then after they've done that and they get that system working and it's all happy for them, they can then choose another social media platform. It could be Twitter, it could be Instagram, whichever they decide to do, go a next one and add that to the system. So that means they don't go into overwhelm. Just do one at a time to build, and yes, advertise yourself on social media with the hope to bring people back to your website.
Cool. Jacob, did you have a question?
Yes, I had one.
Yep, go for it.
You were talking about the themes earlier. Can you express what types of themes?
The themes, I don't generally purchase themes. I go for the free ones in WordPress because there are just so many of them and they're just amazing. But definitely pick a mobile-friendly theme so that, you know, Google will rank you. If you don't have a mobile-friendly theme, Google doesn't like it and it tends not to rank you very much. There's the one that I use, I'm very fond of, is called Courage. That's Courage. It's a easy one to use. It's got everything that people need in there. It gets you started. Very, very simple to use. I would start with something that's easy, pleasant on the eye, not too busy. You could scroll through hundreds and thousands of those and pick which one that you wanted to, but I suggest that people get started quickly, otherwise they'll procrastinate, and that the procrastination is the biggest killer in this business. So start with Courage, and all of my students and clients find that one's really lovely to use for themselves, and they usually stick with it. And I haven't, you know, sort of seen anyone sort of want to go off unless they decide to go on to perhaps a membership site or start building something a little bit heavier. Courage is a pretty good way to go.
Cool. I mean, that's interesting with you're talking about mobile, because these days, you know, when I first heard about blogging, you know, people used to consume their blogs totally either on a desktop computer or a bit later, you know, notebook computers. But of course now, a lot of people don't even have a desktop, and some don't even have a notebook. They have tablets and phones. So how is that sort of, what have people got to consider when they're blogging, you know, particularly to catch the mobile market?
Sure. So obviously being mobile friendly means what will happen on your website is if you're looking at that website on a tablet or an iPad or an iPhone or an Android, the website will actually shrink and grow to the size of that device so that you're able to read it nicely and it's not sort of sliding off the page. And they'll look slightly different because the device will have to accommodate for that. And it's beautiful to use because you could be somewhere else, you know, like here you are wanting to make a passive income and work from anywhere. You could have your mobile phone, you could do some blogging right there on the spot, and you can upload from your mobile phone straight into your website. You can answer people's comments. You can still be in communication and see what's going on there the entire time. So you don't have to be strapped to your computer at your desk 24/7. You're totally mobile and you can work all over the world with it. And definitely mobile is clearly the big thing, and everyone, you know, everyone has one. And there's a large percentage of people who use their mobiles to do pretty much everything, including their banking. So it's very important that you make sure that your site is mobile friendly and people can access it that way.
Cool. Yes, I certainly. Yeah. I mean, I do some work for a local theatre company, and I'm a member of the theatre company. And yeah, I mean, people are buying, you know, tickets to shows and stuff, you know, online and from. Basically, that more and more of them are buying them from their phones and tablets rather than sitting at a desktop computer and purchasing them.
Correct. Yes, absolutely. It's the fastest way to purchase something. If you see something that you like, you can jump straight online and you're there. And I mean, that's what people are doing these days. You go into the shops. You might go shopping, and you might go. Us girls might go shopping for some shoes. You might find some that you really like, and 9 times out of 10, you're going to leave the store, jump online, and see if you can order them for a better price or a different color or a different supplier. So it's definitely the way to go. Online people, the internet is just getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and more people are buying online all of the time. And it's definitely, that is the way to go. Yep.
Cool beans.
It's a very, very, very exciting world, blogging, and looking at some.
Oops, we lost Aldwyn there. That's... Oops, sorry. We lost you there, Aldwyn. You broke up.
Recently. There's a world popular. Patricia?
Can you just repeat that question? You just dropped out a little bit there, Owen.
Oh, okay. Okay. So there's about 2 million blog posts written worldwide each day, sometimes more than that, 3-4 million. Can you explain why you think blogging is becoming so popular now? So why is blogging becoming so popular now? Did that go through?
Sure. Can you hear me?
Okay.
Yep.
Yes.
I'm back. good question. Good question. Yes. Look, blogging has really made a resurgence back. It sort of went quiet there for a little while several years ago, and then made a resurgence because people get to talk about what it is that they love. And when people go into business, it's usually about a passion that they have, an idea that they came up with, that they've really been wanting to, you know, to leave their current job and get out there and do something that they love to do. So blogging is a perfect way for people to express themselves, talk about what they love to do. People love to just sit down, have a cup of coffee and talk about the things that they love. All they need to do is record that and then transcribe it and put it straight up as a blog. They get to get out to a great audience. And look, I know one of my clients is she teaches people sales, and people are scared of sales. But if they're sitting and they are selling online and they don't have to be face-to-face with another person, it's much easier for them to be brave about that. So there's a lot of great reasons to blog. And the major reason that I'm always going on about is it is great for your website because you're getting fresh, squeezed content up onto the blog and onto the net, which means that people are starting to see you. You're starting to get ranked. Google loves fresh content. If you have a website or a blog site that you're not blogging with, not putting fresh content up, Google doesn't like it, and your site becomes quite stale, and you'll get taken over. You know, someone will rank up higher than you pretty quickly. So I get quite excited about it because it lets anybody on the planet talk about the niche, the idea, the business, the passion that they love to work with, and it sets them free. They know they can leave whatever position or job that they're in, and they can start their own business if they want to, and they can realize their dreams that they, you know, through the blogging arena.
Beautiful. And now also having a charity to support is also a fantastic thing when it comes to, you know, gaining media exposure and I guess gaining likability in the online community, in the online world. And something you do, which is fantastic, is support the Sanctuary for Life Dog Rescue Service. So can you explain a bit about why you've decided to align with this particular rescue service and what that means for you?
Sure. Well, I better get the tissues out because this is the time that I get quite upset because I'm an absolute dog lover, and my last two little dogs that I owned have gone to the big doggy heaven sky up in there now, and you know, they were very, very dear to my heart. And currently I decided not to replace because I was on the road a bit and, you know, I'm doing workshops and seminars and a lot of coaching and I'm traveling all over the world. So I'm just going to hold off on bringing a new dog into my world. But I'm very passionate about dogs and I'm very connected to them because they don't get a voice. If a dog is in a bad situation, it doesn't have a voice. It can't speak up and say, I'm being mistreated here, help me. It can't speak for itself. There are people out there who are using dogs for fighting and making money. There are people who are racing them. There are people who are buying, you know, dogs as pets, and then 3 days later it gets thrown in the backyard and it's never, you know, it's a bowl of food's thrown at it or some water and it's never spoken to again. It's inhumane and I don't like it, and I'm passionate about it. And that, not only dogs, it goes with all animals for me. And I met this lovely lady, Donna, I'm getting cracked up in the voice now, you can probably hear that. This lady is amazing, and she rescues these types of dogs who have been mistreated. And she's been spending all of her own money taking to the vet. The vet very kindly gave her a huge discount, and she only has to pay like 40% of the vet bill, and that's his donation to her. So the dogs go down to the vet, they get sorted out, fixed up, put back together, or alternatively, you know, they may need to, you know, go away. But so far it hasn't happened because she lovingly takes them home, gets them to a point where at least they can enjoy their life for the last remaining days or weeks or months on the planet, so that they can have a fulfilled life and pass over nicely. And it just broke my heart. And this woman just totally gives. And I've decided that I'm getting behind her because she needs help. And those dogs need help. And she rehomes the dogs. And she just doesn't go, come and get a puppy, come and get a dog. The people are vetted. They are not allowed to have one of those dogs unless they pass the, this dog's going to work for you, this dog likes you, what kind of home are you going to give it, where are you, who are you, what have you got around you, what are you going to do with this dog? And people are starting to get behind her because of her passion for that. So she's taking care of these dogs and will not give them up unless the right person comes along. And so far she's been very successful with it. So, that's why I'm doing it. I'm going to do everything I can to support her and her cause. And not only is she going to do that, but she's going to start – she's about people too. And she's wanting to help people learn how to dog groom, dog walk, dog pet sitters, you know, the whole – so they can – people who have had a tough break in life, people who want, you know, to help. So she's going to put training in place for those people so that they can eventually get good jobs back out in the industry. So she's got a huge vision, and I'm going to help her fill that.
Wow, that's fantastic. And she's based in Brisbane, Donna Bailey Sanctuary for Life. That is a brilliant cause. And everything you shared there could actually be a whole blog post because there's a story you've just shared there and a very moving story. Thank you for sharing from the heart there. Animals are a big love of mine as well. I started the world's first Animal Action Day back in 2007. I've done 11 annual events now for animals. So I hear what you're saying. Animals, you know, are often treated very badly, and I think each one of us can do something to make a difference for at least one life. And I think it's just brilliant that you're doing something about it, and you're promoting it with your blogging as well. So it's a very powerful way. I guess, you know, words are extremely powerful, and when you can put down words that you're passionate about, you really can help to change the world around you. So that's part of the power of blogging and connecting it with something that you're passionate about and you feel for. So good work. That's fantastic. A great cause to align with there. Now, you've got these blogging for profit workshops coming up. Can you tell us a bit more about those, the dates of those, and how people can attend that?
Sure, absolutely. Yes, I'm really excited. So Blogging for Profit workshop, they're for a small intimate group. So there's no more than between 15 to 20 people maximum in the room. So I want to keep them small so that I can give my attention to every single person in that room. So it's not a heap of people in the room fighting for, you know, some help. I'm there to talk to you and help you with strategies. And I speak your language. So making sure, because I understand geek speak, I've got a gift of being able to explain the geeky technology stuff in plain English to people. And depending on their learning style, everyone hears it different, sees it different, feels it differently, I'm able to plug into that learning style and be able to explain it in a way that that person can understand, and everyone's a little bit different. So I'm really excited about that. The three that are coming up currently, I have one, the Blogging for Profit workshop in Melbourne on January the 13th. That's Melbourne, January the 13th, and it's in the CBD, in the city in Melbourne. The Gold Coast in February the 10th this year, and that's near the vicinity of Carrara. So that's Gold Coast, February the 10th. And in Sydney, March the 3rd, again, that will be in the CBD. I'm just confirming the venue now. So Melbourne, 13th of January, Gold Coast, February 10th, Sydney, March the 3rd. And you can access tickets for that event at patricialaverty.com. That's patricialaverty.com/workshop. patricialaverty.com/workshop. And you'll be able to purchase some tickets to come and see me at those events.
Fantastic. And I like the idea of 15 to 20 people. It makes it a nice intimate group. It means people can share their ideas and really get some great brainstorming. And it almost becomes like a business mastermind, doesn't it?
It certainly does. And I'm really passionate about helping people, because I see how people struggle and they're trying to make ends meet, or they're trying to get some business off the ground, or they're trying to increase the business that they have. And look, I've been a coach and a mentor all of my adult life, and I love helping people. I adore it. And the gift that comes back to me is when I teach someone something and they say to me, "Oh, thank you, Patricia. I get that. I understand what that means now, and I'm able to use it." And that is the gift that I get from teaching at these workshops, the smiles on those faces and the fact that they got it.
That's brilliant, Patricia. And now Brad's still missing in action, I think.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what's happened. Jacob, do you have any final questions before we finish for the day?
No.
You're fine? All fine?
Cool. What about you, Daryl? You got some questions?
I was just trying to think. I think sort of like the social media angle and the mobile angle was sort of ones I was curious on, because I always sort of think you've got to be where the people are. And the people now are on, as I can see, as the tourists flock to my town for the summer, they're on their mobile phones because they're wandering the streets staring down at their phones all day long. So I think as a blogging platform, absolutely, I think you've got to be able to sort of go where the people are.
That's true. Absolutely. Actually, I've got a question, Patricia, about marketing your blog. Now, we've mentioned about affiliate marketing. We've mentioned about, having links on blogs. We've mentioned about social media marketing. What do you do once you put a blog up? How do you promote it?
So a number of ways. This business has many tentacles, and basically once I put a blog up, I would email that link out to my current database to make sure they never missed a post, because you've got to look after your current database as well. I have other people that I guest post for. They're happy to take my post onto their blog. And obviously I talk, I do it at the seminars as well. I do go onto my Facebook business page, and I go and I join with other groups that are of like-minded, you know, that want to sort of to get some help, even just interacting and answering questions for people. And ultimately they would come back over to my blog post because they want to learn more. So it's about being out there. It's about being seen. It's about interaction. It's about communication. And you just got to keep being vocal about it. Making sure your blogs are interesting, informative, educational, that people, you know, like we were saying, you know, it's what the people want. It's not what you want to give them. It's what they want. So you need to be trying to speak, you know, so that they understand and they're interested in what you have, and asking people to share your blogs as well. You know, people come on and say, yes, this is really fantastic. I love it. Ask them to share, and they'll share amongst their social media groups as well. And it just spreads, you know, and you can send them viral if you really want to. But stay in communication every way you can to promote your blog is the best answer I can give you there.
I think that's great. I mean, the World Wide Web, I often do think of it as a big spider web, you know, we're the spider in the web, and there are, you know, a million different arms to that, you know, that could potentially
definitely
be there. So the more feelers you get out there, the better. Yep. And you never know, you know, who might be reading your blog one day, you know, whose life you could change by sharing from the heart or you know, through a blogging business even, you know, with what you're teaching. You know, maybe there's people out there that are constantly, you know, writing stories or, you know, writing, I mean, even posts on social media. You know, some of those could be like mini blogs, you know, and just putting that into a more productive method or you know, they could really make a bigger difference with the stories that people are currently putting out even. So you know, it's fantastic what you're doing, Patricia, and I wish you all the success in the world with this, and also with your seminars coming up. So again, for people that are listening to this right now, could you give us again those workshop dates and the link, please, for people to attend?
Absolutely. Thank you very much. So the three events that are coming up at the moment is called Blogging for Profit Workshop, and Melbourne, January 13th, which is only next week. That's in the CBD. Gold Coast, February 10th, which is in the vicinity of Carrara. That's February 10th for the Gold Coast. And Sydney, March 3rd, and it's in the CBD. So that's Melbourne, January 13th, Gold Coast, February 10th, Sydney, March 3rd. And the web address for that is patricialaverty.com. That's P-A-T-R-I-C-I-A. laverty.com/workshop. PatriciaLaverty.com workshop. Thanks, Olwen.
Fantastic, Patricia. Thank you so much. And I can see that Brad has just hopped back on. Welcome back, Brad. Are you there, Brad? He might be on mute. He's sending us messages saying he's back.
He might be on mute anyway. But so that's so unless anyone else has got any further questions for Patricia, I think that's just about we'll call it an episode. So a big thank you.
Yeah, well basically, you know, we'll let people know how to connect with us all.
Exactly.
Is there any other way people can connect with you, Patricia, other than your website? What about social media or anywhere else?
Sure. So on my business Facebook, it's Like Patricia Laverty. So it's L-I-K-E in front of my name, Patricia Laverty. Like Patricia Laverty. Or we just go straight over to my website, which is patricialaverty.com. Either of those ways, you'll be able to get in touch with me.
Cool. And Aldwyn, where can I get in touch with you if they want to continue the conversation?
You can Google Aldwyn Altenay. I'm the only one with that name out there. Aldwyn Altenay or Media Queen. I'm on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Google+. I've got a YouTube channel, Instagram as well. So they're the main places. Also my website, aaxpose.com. And I would love to connect with anyone who's listening to this. And also if you are listening to this, thank you so much for supporting it. And share the love, I say. So share the love, share this link on social media. Let people know about it. Blogging and sharing stories can literally change lives, and you can make a big difference for areas of life that you really care about as well by giving a voice to things such as animals, dogs, etc., or whatever it is you're passionate about. Speak up, I say. Speak up and use blogging to your advantage. And Patricia Laverty is your lady. So that's where you can connect with me. Just Google Aldwyn Altenay or Media Queen. And what about you, Daryl?
You can connect at Learnscape on the Twitters. I also have Facebook. And I'm also starting to repost back to Google Plus. I'd had a bit of a hiatus for quite a while, but I'm getting back into posting photographs in particular to Google Plus. So that's where you can get. Jacob, where can they get in touch with you if they want to continue the conversation?
But we got Brad in the horn.
We got Brad in the hall.
Welcome back, Brad.
So, Jacob, where can I get in touch with you?
Gaspot 32669.
Cool. So, if that's, and I don't know if Brad wants, I know Brad's just got.
You can get me on Twitter at Brad Osmond and Tech Webcast. Jared, good podcast today, man.
Yep, no worries. Well, you got here for the ending of it, so that's. So
I got held up somewhere, mate.
That's all right, no problem. At least you can say you were on the show, so it wasn't like you were.
You took out the battery, the iPhone battery. Real quick.
Oh well, the iPhone battery. Apple's got itself into a bit of talking about blogging, a bit of PR hot water over the last couple of weeks when they actually said it themselves that they have stuff in iOS that will slow down older iPhones due to older iPhones' batteries and the fact that as an iPhone battery gets older, there can be issues. So they slow down. iOS, which means the device slows down. So I've got an iPhone 6 and it's starting to get a bit sluggish. The problem for for Apple is they've never said this before. And many people have, you know, when their iPhones have got a bit sluggish, have decided I'm going to spend another $800 or another $1,000. I'm going to buy a new phone because obviously my iPhone's on the way out, when they could have spent a whole lot less and just got Apple to install another battery for them. So Apple, in apologising, dropped the price of their replacement batteries to, I think, about $29 rather than over $100. But that hasn't stopped people in a number of countries from launching legal action and suing Apple. I think in Australia there's going to be a class action. I think Israel there's a class action. I think the United States there's a class action, and maybe probably other countries. So it will be interesting to see.
Wasn't there like a reason?
There was a reason. Apple said that as when a battery gets old, if the phone's still running, you know, at its normal speed and capacity, can have issues where the battery just dies. So Apple, you know, decided they would slow your device up, which would then mean your battery would last longer. But the problem for Apple is they didn't divulge that when they initially did it. They didn't say, hey, you know, if your phone slows down, it could be that your battery is the issue. And so a lot of people, you know, and I've done it myself, you know, your phone gets to the stage and think, oh my god, it's just like treacle to use, and you go and fork out big money and you buy a new one. And so there are people out there that are arguing that say, well, if I'd have known, I'd have just got, you know, a replacement battery. So so that's where I think Apple fell foul, was more in the PR of not actually saying we do this and here is the reason why we do it, and more on telling people, you know, back in the day. But yeah, there was a legitimate reason. I mean, I don't think the conspiracy theorists will always say, oh, Apple's doing it just so you'll have to buy a new phone. They want you to buy a new phone. But I do believe in this case that there was probably a legitimate reason, because if it was a lie, then the tech community would come out and say, hey, that's not true. You don't have to do that to have if you've got a poor battery. So Apple have to be very careful because they don't want to compound it. But anyway, there'll be legal action in a few countries. But I'm sure Apple is a hugely wealthy company. So I don't know if they're that particularly worried about it. They'll probably.
What is it affecting? Is it iPad
There's been mixed reports about. I've heard some people say, "Oh, yes, online, it's the iPad." And I've had to say, "No, it doesn't affect the iPad. It's the iPhones." And like, you know, I've got an iPhone 6, and so my iPhone 6 is. It may not be the battery; it may be just the phone is getting old. But my iPhone 6 is starting to get, you know, a bit, you know, laggy at times. You know, you swipe and you've got to wait a split second longer for it to actually do stuff. Now, I don't know whether that's because maybe the battery is older now and this stuff is kicking in that Apple put in the code to slow it down, or if it's just the fact that my phone's aging. It's not concerning me, but I think that the anger in some quarters was that people went out and bought new phones and then they might have been able to, although I don't know how many people would replace a battery. You know, it seems to be because, you know, batteries are sealed on an iPhone and not like Android where you can just snap the battery out and put another battery.
Here's a question for you, Derek. Can you send like an iPhone, any Apple devices overseas, or is it because you can't do it because it's a battery?
No, I think the hardware itself, I think the phone, it's the battery itself I may be wrong. I would presume the battery itself, it's more in the, the different chargers that you use, US has a different pins because they have a different voltage. Yeah, it's the charger rather than the battery. I presume that they just manufacture them all in. Yeah, they manufacture them all in basically Foxconn, which is a big contractor for Apple. They've got factories all around China and that, and most of the phones are actually manufactured in China and then they're shipped to the US or they're shipped to Australia or they're shipped wherever they need to be. So I would presume most of that stuff is the hardware side of it is. It doesn't matter where you go. It's more you've got your battery charges and stuff.
I was actually talking to Jake about this the other day. If it's possible to be done, and you think it is it?
I mean, my brother years ago, it was back in iPhone 4 days, so that's how long ago. But he had an iPhone 4, and he bought it out in the US, and he bought it out to Australia and used it in Australia. And he had to change. You know, the charger. So he had one of those, you know, chargers. You can put another one in, so it would plug into an Australian PowerPoint.
Yeah, right.
And he didn't seem to have any issues. And he'd certainly bought that phone in the US, and he bought it out with him. And he switched off, and he just used a bit of data on it. But he was plugging it in, charging it up, and all the rest of it. And it didn't seem to bother him. So I can only presume because they wouldn't want to be creating separate hardware for Australia and separate hardware for the US and separate hardware for, say, you know, the other countries they sell. It would just be a nightmare for them to have to, you know, manufacture that. Yeah. So I would presume that the iPhones, it's only really at the operating system where you set it for Australia and you might have something different, or the SIM card that you put in it, of course, will, you know, can lock the phone to certain networks and various other things. Okay. That, yeah.
There you go, Jacob. What were we talking about a few weeks ago?
yep.
So that can be done, mate. So is the guest still here?
Yes.
Is the guest still here?
Yeah, I think so. I just have to.
Yes, I am.
So, yeah, good to have you on the podcast.
Thank you. Thanks for inviting me.
During the interview, and I'll check out your blog and stuff, and as well, check out my blog as well. Brad's blog, has been doing that for a long time now, and yeah, it should be good to have you on the podcast.
That's great. Thank you so much for inviting me. I've really enjoyed and I've really been rapt that you've allowed me to speak freely on the web. It was wonderful. Thank you so much.
No problem. You can come back on any time you want and enjoy the conversation again.
Awesome. Thank you very much.
Awesome. Thank you, Audwin, for being on the podcast. Well, you're a legend, by the way.
Thank you. Well, it takes one to know one. What can I say? We're all legends here on this podcast. Thank you, Brent.
This is becoming a self-appreciation society.
Absolutely. Yeah. I love myself and I know you do too, and there's nothing wrong with that whatsoever. It's a beautiful thing. We all need to love ourselves more, I believe.
I'll be singing Kumbaya in a minute.
Hey, Jake, do you love yourself?
What?
Do you love yourself?
He's having a
conversation. Do you love yourself?
He's having a conversation with himself over there, so that's why.
Is he?
No, okay. No.
Thanks, Daryl.
Conversation with food.
Oh, well, I'm about to do that too shortly. So we will sign off from episode 458 of Tech Webcast. Thank everybody for being here today. Remember, if you want to support Tech Webcast, jump over to patreon.com/techwebcast and give us some love. Because
And also shout out to Dean as well from Grandma's Homemade. He just put his Patreon up to $5 a month.
Legend, Dean. So we all love ourselves, so we want you to love us too.
And I'll be meeting him in a couple of weeks too, by the way, too, Daryl.
Oh, excellent.
In Melbourne.
Oh, good. Mm. Oh, you'll have to vlog it all, do it on your phone, have a chat with him, and if you can record some of it on your iPhone or something, and on your new iPhone, and then upload it to Facebook or something. Do it a little bit of a on the streets where you live sort of
thing. Maybe we could do a Facebook Live maybe.
Yeah, why not? Give that iPhone of yours a workout.
Shame you're not. You won't be hearing too. Shame you're not coming down, Daryl.
Not until the 22nd. I'll be coming down. So the 22nd of January. Really? I think so. Yeah, I've got to go to eye and ear again for another checkup from the eye and all that sort of stuff. So I think on the 22nd I'll be.
Maybe we could meet then, maybe.
I might have 5 minutes this time around. I'm not having. You know, I've just got to get their sores rushing. But anyway, we can talk about that after the podcast. I'm sure the thousands of people that listen don't want to hear my conversation along with my eyes. But so that's it for another episode of Tech Webcast is in the can. Anyone else want to say anything final before I hit the outro? No.
Jacob, want to say something funny?
No, thank you, Brad.
No, he's not.
Here's to a great 2018, everyone.
Yay! Happy New Year to everyone, and have a great. We hope you all have a great 2018 listening to Tech Webcast. And so another Tech Webcast is in the can. Take two.
Thank you for listening to Tech Webcast. Don't forget to like us on Facebook and Twitter at Tech Webcast. We'll catch you next time. Cheers.
Tech Webcast. Tech Webcast. Tech Webcast. Tech Webcast. Tech Webcast.
-10.
Tech Webcast.
9.
Tech Webcast.
8. 7.
Tech Webcast. Tech Webcast.
A beautiful liftoff. Climbing nicely. Roll program initiated.